The text this morning of asking and seeking and knocking is actually something that has perfect timing. You see, as a kid, my first few memories of church camp as a 6, 7, 8-year-old, somewhere in there, I don't quite remember too much of specific events that occurred at church camp, but I do remember a song that comes from this text. And the chorus of the song goes, "Ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open for you. Ask, seek, knock, God will be there for you." And it's always been stuck in my head when I think of church camp, I think of that song. And I say it's perfect timing because as I was meditating over this text and thinking of what I wanted to say this morning, and that song was getting stuck in my head, I was actually back at church camp. I spent the last week as a counselor at Shatek, which is a Moravian summer camp for high schoolers and college-age kids. So I spent the week there. It was great. It was tiring, even though I can't really complain about my levels of energy. I know there were cabins that stayed up till 3 in the morning while I made sure to honor the 11:30 lights-out rule. But it, as much fun as it was to have that song stuck in my head during camp, it also struck a chord because at camp we learned quite a bit about prayer. And our message this morning deals with how to pray. The disciples come to Jesus and deliberately ask him how to pray. This is one of the few moments in which the disciples actually ask Jesus to teach them something. Usually he does it on his own, but they want to know to pray, and they're so eager to know that they feel the need to ask him how. And what starts as a quick guide of the words to say and in what order to say them, it turns into the story of a man going to his friend's house at midnight in search of bread. So we go immediately from the words of prayer to what prayer really means. It's something much deeper than just the words that we say. It's about the attitude we take towards our prayer. And this man wasn't in dire need. He wouldn't have died that evening if he didn't get his bread or if his friend didn't get this bread. But he wanted it so badly that he was willing to get up in the middle of the night and embarrass himself to this other friend by asking for a loaf of bread at midnight. And even though he gets denied, we see that because of his persistence, he gets rewarded and he's going to get what he asked for. And that's how we should pray, with that same sort of persistence, with the ability to humble ourselves and speak honestly with persistence that we will get rewarded with what we need. But what does going to someone's house at midnight have to do with prayer? Now, I thought that I had a pretty good idea of what prayer meant. You know the words, you know the order, I've been praying for a long time, I think I have this thing kind of down, I know what it's about. But I think that you would all kind of echo that sort of a feeling about prayer. We've been doing it for a long time, we know the words, we know the Lord's Prayer, we know the correct occasions to pray in a certain way, but oftentimes our prayers fall flat and they lose their meaning a little bit because of the routine in which that they're used. And as I was at camp this week waiting for the moment that would inspire a sermon, I knew at camp that something would stir up and would be used in a sermon later on. And as the week was going on, I was wondering if maybe it was going to be the water balloon fight we had, but that didn't feel quite right. And then maybe it was the camper who managed to squeeze over 200 peas into their mouth at dinner. Maybe it was that one. There was just so many good options of campers supplying me with sermon material. But finally, Thursday evening, something struck me. We were having a communion service to initiate the new RYC members. And the RYC is a group of young adults that are tasked with meeting throughout the year to plan the next week of Shatek, the next summer's camp. So they have a big job on their hands, and we had a communion service to install them for their new job. And as the theme of the camp was the living waters that Christ has given to us and that live within all of us, how we are made up of 80% water, and so is just about everything around us. It was this great connection to water and the various ways it works in our lives. We wanted to incorporate something about water in this communion service. So we decided to mirror a Jewish tradition and a Jewish belief that believes water can be used as a medium to purify ourselves before coming in the presence of God. That water is able to wash us clean. And to represent this, we told the campers that they were going to be given little sheets of paper, and on them they were to write things that they wished to have purified either from their lives or improved in their lives, things that they would ask God to purify and to improve and get them closer to God. And to do this, they would write them on the slip of paper, and when they were ready, they could go outside, and waiting for them would be four counselors, each with a bucket of water, and they could approach a counselor and explain what they wish to be blessed for or what they're asking to be purified, or they didn't have to say anything at all if they didn't want to. It was whatever they were comfortable with. They would approach the bucket, place the piece of paper in the water, and the paper would dissolve, and they would be purified. The ink would bleed into the water, and it would gain this cool color of a mixture of inks of all of the things that we have that we need to be purified from. And the counselor would then offer just a short blessing to them, and they could be on their way, and they were ready to receive communion and be in the presence of God. And the first camper, when we were ready to start this process, the first camper was Mason. And Mason was a boy in my cabin. He's 16 years old. And the best way I can describe Mason is that he was the jock at the church camp. It might put a little bad light on jocks in general, but he was there mainly to play pickup games of basketball, to play ultimate frisbee, to play football. He didn't take the program to heart much. He didn't seem to really be contemplating on all the things that were being offered. He didn't really enjoy singing all the songs we sang. He was there mainly for the social aspect, and it didn't seem like he was making very many connections on the spiritual level of the week we had. And as he got up to leave as the first person, I kind of assumed that this was just another thing he wanted to check off the list. He wanted to get it done and over with so we could move on to the next item. But the woman whose bucket he went to told quite a different story of her interaction with Mason. She said that before he even got outside, she could see him approaching, and she could see his eyes filled with tears. And as he approached her, before she could say anything, through all of the tears, he said that, "My parents and I have a terrible relationship, and I am praying that God can help me bring peace to my family." This 16-year-old boy praying that he can provide peace to his family. It was such a powerful moment from someone that I didn't expect it from. I didn't give Mason enough credit that he would be able to get to that much of a spiritual level. But he was such an example and such a reminder of what the power of prayer truly is. And in our lesson this morning, we're taught that prayer is so much more than the words that we say. That Jesus gives us the brief synopsis of the words of when we start praying, this is what we're to pray. And he could have stopped right there, and that it was the correct way to pray, and everything would be just fine. But he decides to continue and gives us a glimpse of a situation in which someone would be praying, that this man's prayer, his need for bread, literally caused him to rise up and get out of bed in search of his friend's house and an answer to his solutions, that he was the source of action in his prayer. Prayer is referred to as asking and seeking and knocking, and all of those require action on our own parts. They're not things that we can offer up on our own without any movement from ourselves. I think we often see things in the world, see people struggling with loss or as victims of tragedy, and we are very quick to offer them up in our prayers. We pray that God can give them comfort and can wrap them in his love. And we often do this assuming that we aren't able to connect with that person directly, that because they're in a different neighborhood, a different country, or they're just going through something that we can't comprehend, that we leave it to God to be that medium and to take the comfort we may have and give it to them. And I don't know how often we pray for God to instill action in our own lives, for us to be that action. To take the example of Mason and not just pray for peace to come to his family, but that he be a source of peace in his family, that God prepares him to be a source of peace for his family. It is a life-changing altering of a few words in a prayer, to be asking that you be the action instead of just hoping that God can take your desires and your prayers and instill them on other people. I had the opportunity to check in with Mason after this service, and I found out that while you don't really know where campers are coming from in their various faith lives, everyone's coming at a bit of a different level. And it turns out that this 1 week of camp was going to be Mason's spiritual nourishment for an entire year. That his home life didn't offer anything fulfilling spiritually. His friends weren't interested in church or discussing their faith. So this week at Chautauqua, this time spent with other Christians, other believers, was responsible for carrying throughout an entire year until he was able to feel that once more at next year's summer camp. This, not only this one camp, but really this one prayer, that one moment he had where he was moved so deeply, needed to be something that could carry him throughout another year. And by the way, he came to camp by himself. He took it upon himself to drive to camp 4 hours because he knew that that was where he was going to find that nourishment. That was going to supply him for what he had to deal with throughout the following year. And I wonder if we approached our prayer, if we, the next time we prayed, if we approached it as if that one prayer had to fulfill us for an entire year, how differently would we pray? What would be the things that we would write on that slip of paper, wishing to be dissolved and to be purified by God, if we knew that the next time we prayed, that had to fulfill us an entire year until we could feel that way again? And I ask that this morning that we are able to reevaluate the way that we pray a little bit. I know that I say a variety of the same prayer each night, and I am beginning to realize that that is not quite enough, that we need to be praying about the things that cause us to stir and rise in the middle of the night, that inspire us to action. So the next time you pray, think about if this had to last an entire year, what would you pray for? And keep that on your heart. And each time you pray, with the persistence of the man in our lesson this morning, that continually, if that is on our minds as we pray, that is when change will begin to be seen in our own lives and throughout the world. Amen.